Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, Reaction Monday. Not a happy one. Still, thanks to Shoppers John Deere for giving us the opportunity to do this. John getting his rocks off early when it comes to Laramie Tunsil in particular, but the penalties in general. And I think the law firm of Lopez, Fig, and Atitula have come to a decision. Lopez, Atitula, and Fig is what I said. I like the punch of Fig at the end. Lopez, Atitula, and Fig. It's one of two decisions, right? It's just straight off the top, Tunsil gets benched, or it's Laramie Tunsil, you are taking every single snap. We're taking away your veteran days. You don't get to relax no more. You got to put in work to get yourself together. You're taking all the snaps. I mean, that'll hurt for development of your other guys, but hey, man, you need to get in all the work possible. All those luxuries, hey, maybe even strip you of your captaincy. I know that that's tough because that was voted on by the players, but as of right now, you're not exhibiting the qualities of a captain, right? So those are the two options that we have put up, and I'm sure you can determine which one was put up by myself and which one was put up by John Lopez after our conversation.
I came in hot, Figgy.
Yeah. He had that fire.
I'm just sick and tired of it, as people like to say. And some people, just real quick, and we'll get into this offense because it does tie in with the offense. Some people, like our lovely program director, I don't think he's ever been called lovely, Parker came in during the break and was saying, well, no, kind of what you're talking about. And also, well, he just, and some texters are saying this, well, he just appreciates sitting out. Okay, well, if he says, you know, no big deal, then you have your answer. You have your answer about Laramie Tunsil and how it, what, you know, how he really works and what drives him and all that. So I we'll get back to this because I've just been all night, all morning. And then when I saw his quote, I was like, all right, I'm going in on this cat. I mean, he can squish me like a grape if he wants to. He can get mad if he wants. I hope he does get mad. Hope he does get mad because that's what needs to get him going.
So we transition from that to an offense in general that was a little lackluster. We set this up as the possibility for this game proved as a test for your Texans, particularly offensively, and that test did not seem like it was passed on offense. Now, of course, a large part of this was you had a lot of penalties that put them in bad situations, but also you had stuff like this.
Split back, CJ in the gun. CJ with pressure. Out to the right. He's going to be sacked by Van Ginkel. Back at the 18-yard line.
Yep, and that basically does it.
Yep.
You just want to get to halftime now. Let the clock run out and just go in and press the restart button.
Yeah.
And that highlighted for me one of the issues that we've seen with Bobby Slowick. But I think, look, man, there's an acknowledgement. Bobby Slowick is very talented at what he does. He's a fantastic young coordinator that a lot of people have some interest in for bigger and better things. But with that being the case, like, I feel like we need a Bobby Slowick conversation because one of the things that obviously happened, I made the decision, and the smart one, I believe, to come up to the studio and watch the game with the five fellas that do pre and post game here because I would rather sit and watch a game around some former players and get some of their perspectives. And one of the things that jumped off the screen and leapt out of Clint Sterner's heart was, hey, man, this blocking scheme doesn't make sense, right? Like, very often, quite a few times, you had the likes of Cade Stover or Dalton Schultz one up with a defensive end. Oftentimes, their best defensive end, Jonathan Grenard. You're familiar with him.
Oof.
And it went just the way that you would expect. A second-year tight end or just generally dudes that are not like maulers at tight end like they're Rob Gronkowski up here with defensive ends. And it kept happening. Again, with the same thing we're talking about with the pass blocking, right? Or not pass blocking, with the penalties.
Mm-hmm.
It kept happening over the course of the game, which made it more evident that this was not just, hey, a problem in setting protection like I had, you know, been concerned about last week.
Yeah.
This was a decision on how they decided to block it, and it pointed to there might be some issues when it comes to Bobby Slowick and his inexperience that are showing themselves against more experienced defensive coordinators.
Yeah, the offensive line scheme, the blocking scheme with the tight ends at fullback and everything, it really doesn't have a lot to do. It has some, of course, with Chris Strasser, the offensive line coach. That's Bobby Slowick's scheme. Like, the scheme is Bobby Slowick's. How they're going to block things up. You know, Strasser is more the nuts and bolts, let's do this, fix it one way or another.
Although, hey, Chris Strasser,
no, he's not off the hook.
Your tackles are jumping off sides and not lining up right.
But yes, exactly. You know, Bobby Slowick bought the groceries of this scheme. You know, he's the guy that bought the groceries. And the reason I think we have to have this conversation and are having this conversation about this offense is not just like they got blown up, but he has, I mean, like, what else do you want, Bobby? You spent $188 million on the offensive line. You know, you got $188 million invested in the offensive line. Oh, okay, how about a receiver? Okay, we'll get you Stephon Diggs. Okay, how about extending Nico so he's happy? Okay, we'll extend Nico. All right, how about a running back, a really big-time, badass running back? You got it.
Who, to be fair, injured in this.
Well, sure.
Not available.
Sure, but we got to Joe Mixon, buddy. So he's got $188 million on the offensive line, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins extended, Joe Mixon. So, yes, Bobby Slowick, you got all the groceries. It's your scheme. Let's make it work.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that we talked about on Friday is I felt like quick game would have been really helpful in trying to neutralize that pass rush. And when they did deploy it, it felt like it was useful, right? You were able to get guys out in space, Nico Collins out in space.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there was one that was thrown to Xavier Hutchinson that he ultimately didn't catch. But I felt like there was things like that I don't know was fully utilized early enough. Now, to be fair, in that point as well, you had the defensive ends just getting their hands up and not batting balls down that kind of negated some of those things. But that all of that still stemmed from, in my estimation, starting at the foundation, your offensive line, whether it was through penalties or just like not being set up to pass block, right, where you have a possession where Dalton Schultz is on the left side blocking Jonathan Grenard by his lonesome, and then you have three linemen almost stuck on a defensive tackle. Like, it feels like that.
Yeah.
The way that you went about the primary game planning of this was set up incorrectly, and so you did not give yourself the maximum opportunity to be right in the course of this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And when you couple what they did on the offensive line and the pre-snap penalties with what you just mentioned, that's how you get 13 out of 14 third downs were third and seven or longer. Now, that is certainly understandable that you're going to struggle, but 13 out of 14, that points to Bobby, too. You got to have something. Now, listen, the other thing that they did in game is they moved Stephon Gilmore with Nico Collins. I don't know if Nico Collins is going to be the number one wide receiver all year long, but the Vikings thought he was. So that's how Stephon Diggs got 10 catches, and that's how. But you have to be able to exploit that when you see it in game. Oh, wow. You know, they're traveling Stephon a lot, not exclusively, but a lot. With Nico Collins, that's how you got to make the adjustment if you're Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, and I, in the course of this, I do wonder if something that's going to pop up more over time is some play action. I know that there's some people that are like, oh, the run game isn't all that good. And I don't, over time, we found that, hey, man, the use of play action is going to be useful regardless of if you run the ball effectively or not. Because what it does is it freezes those linebackers for a split second. And especially with the wide receiving core that you have, giving C.J. Stroud an opportunity to just have a little bit of a split second, a little bit of space in that middle of the field. And I just wonder if that could have been utilized more. And now that I'm just going into full speculation, second guessing. But one thing that did become, I felt, was at least very evident without getting too far into the X's and O's of it, was there was a disparity when it came to the coaching acumen, or maybe just like on this day, without talking about the full strength of it. Brian Flores earned himself some looks when it comes to, hey, man, come back around and be a head coach again. And I think that was an interesting juxtaposition to Bobby Slowick, who was Golden Boy this past coaching search, even though he ultimately decided to come back. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that some of this is the reasons why he wants more opportunity to work on it. However, it's going to need to show itself over the course of this season that you are working on it and you're getting better.
Make no mistake about it. As much as this was a frustrating game and we're really just kind of getting into the frustrations, the Vikings are the real deal, and Brian Flores is the real deal.
But that's
no excuse if you think you're the real deal.
That's again.
Yeah.
These are the waters that you are now playing.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, we have moved from the wading part of the pool to 6 feet deep. Right? Can you swim? And we're seeing the various ways in which the Texans can swim a little. They swim like me. Right. Like, I will be alive. I'm not moving around too fast. Right. Like, you will never confuse me with Michael Phelps. But right now, as of this moment, right, it is just enough to tread water, just enough to keep yourself.
And that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And let's not forget this either. When you talk about scheme and blocking schemes and all that, CJ Stroud is on pace to be sacked 56 times this year. Let me say that again. 56 times he's on pace to be. That is not good.
Okay.
That is not good. That is how you get a quarterback hurt or beat up.
So, yeah, I think that those are the things. Those are things that we're starting to see when it comes to Bobby Slowik. And I do want to see that get significant. And not only want to, needs to.
Yeah.
It needs to, again, for the level of team, the caliber of team that you anticipate this being. Those things, you're going to be facing off against defenses of this caliber. You need to be able to set your protection to have a baseline for what you're doing. You need to be able to see the defense, and even though they pose challenges, you need to be able to find ways to get those things executed. And unfortunately, as of right now, you haven't done that. But yeah, Bobby, we want to see it. And that's on top of the fact that, and look, I don't know how much this was going to happen anyways. We know the running game, especially run blocking, has not been up to the task or up to the level that we would hope. But there was frequently times where the Texans were getting hit behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage to no end, right? The Texans ground game struggled to create space from scrimmage. 8 of 11 design runs, ball carriers were contacted behind the line of scrimmage in this game.
Way too much.
What you want. All right, man. It's In the Loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's step back just a little bit and do our question of the day here on this Reaction Monday. How do you typically handle a bad loss? Not just a loss. I know that we've seen a few of those, but like a bad loss like this one, this 34-7 loss against Minnesota. 713-572-4610. Let us know how you handle a bad loss. We'll discuss that next.